Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Monday, March the 4th. We are on day 17 of our Lenten fast journey. We are almost halfway through already. I pray that you have been restored in some areas, that your mind has been renewed, and that you have grown closer to God through introspection, more time spent with God in prayer and reading God's word. We are praying and fasting. You know, fasting is an act of giving something up, denying yourself some form of pleasure, and redirecting that energy towards reconnecting with God. Speaking to a large audience, D.L. Moody held up a glass and asked this question: how can I get the air out of this glass? One man shouted, suck it out with a pump. And Moody replied, that would create a vacuum and shatter the glass. After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled, picked up a pitcher of water and filled the glass. There, he said, all the air is now removed. He then went on to explain that here it is, victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out a sin here and there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Fasting, church, enables the Holy Spirit to reveal our true spiritual condition. When you see your own brokenness more clearly, you're able to move toward repentance. When you experience revival in your own life through fasting, the grace and love of God can shine through you into the lives of others. So I hope you use this time to reconnect with God and God's body, that is the church. So why don't we succeed when we have such good intentions? Last week we said because we focus on the what, but we don't understand the how. Another reason is because we don't see progress fast enough. And I closed last Friday encouraging you to what? Trust the process. Because if you are sowing, God's promise is set in motion that in due season you shall reap if you faint not. But we got to trust the process. And what does that look like? We got to prepare the soil, nurture the seeds, and leave the rest up to God. But there is a third reason why we don't experience kingdom success, and this is a big one. It's because our distorted identity sabotages our success. Our distorted identity sabotages our success. The reason this is a big one, church, is because the enemy thrives on this. The enemy tries to connect our failures to our identity. You failed, so you are a failure. And because he connects our failures to our identity, some of you are walking around in shame and living beneath your potential because you think you are defined by your mistakes. This is Satan's playground. If Satan can connect your failures to your identity, you will always view life through the lens of your mistakes. You see, we live in a broken world, and the enemy leverages that brokenness to form the lens to which we view the world and ourselves through. Think about this and how the enemy has leveraged it to alter your perspective of your identity. How I speak to myself leads to how I think of myself, which leads to how I value myself, which leads to how I treat myself, which leads to how I project myself when in the world, and how I live my life, which leads to how and if I recognize and accept opportunities, value my abilities, strengths, talents, and discover new possibilities. I hope that makes sense. If I speak to myself and think of myself and value myself through the lens of my mistakes, It shapes how I project myself in the world, how I view opportunities, how I value my abilities, and discover new possibilities. Let me see if I can make it make sense. Think of photographers, okay? The lens they use on their camera gives them the perspective through which they compose photographs of people, events, and the world around them. Similarly, our life lens is our perspective on how we see ourselves, our past, and our current. Maybe, and I don't know, but maybe the reason you aren't experiencing breakthrough spiritually is because you are viewing life through a distorted identity. When you look at some of the most effective people in God's word, just so you know you're not by yourself, you see people who battled with identity issues. Moses, for example, despite being called by God to lead the Israelites, Moses struggled with feelings of inadequacy and insecurity. He initially questioned his qualifications and expressed doubt about his ability to fulfill the task. Or what about Gideon? When called upon to judge Israel, Gideon, like Moses, struggled with self-doubt. He questioned his worthiness and even resorted to testing God's plan before accepting God's mission. And he said, I'm the weakest and I'm the least in my community. And this is how it might play out in your life. Well, this is just the way I am. I mean, we've always known I just kind of have an addictive personality. And so, well, I might as well take another drink, right? Or I'm not good with money. I've never been good with money, so might as well go shopping just to deal with it. I'm not a disciplined person, no way. I'm not an organized person. I've never been good in relationships. I just can't seem to get it done. Church, it's identity. And here's what happens. An unhealthy identity creates unwise habits. Then the unwise habits reinforce what? The unhealthy identity. It's a cycle. We don't see ourselves as godly, therefore we don't live in a way that's godly. Therefore, the way we live reinforces the identity that we're not really living for God, and the cycle becomes very, very, very toxic and negative. So how do I break the cycle? Here it is. Don't miss it. Please don't miss this. Before you start with do goals, start with who goals. Before you start with do, D-O goals, start with who goals. I know you have good intentions. You want to better your life. You want to do better. You want to save more money. You want to spend less. You want to spend more time with your family. You want to love better. You want to grow in your relationship with God. You have a desire to change, but you keep repeating the course. You set all these goals, but a few weeks later, you regress. Here's what I want you to do. Instead of starting with the do, start with the who. Not what do you want to do, but I want you to first start with the identity and ask yourself, who do you want to become? Who do you want to become? Who is it that when people describe you, you want them to describe? You might say, I want to be a true man, woman of God. That's a great who goal. You might say this, I want to be clean. I want to be sober. That's a fantastic who goal. I want to be a godly parent. I want to be a godly spouse. That's a great who goal. I want to be financially free. I know it might take 4 years or 10 years. It might even take longer. I want to be generous along the way, and I want to be radically and irrationally generous in the years to come. I want to be a healthy person. Listen, all of those are good who goals. When you focus on the who before the do, here's what happens. Identity shapes actions. Identity shapes actions. How you see yourself affects what you do next. And the key is for us to find our identity in God. Now, the world encourages us to look within ourselves for our identity. Therefore, our natural tendency is to search for our identity in external things. And one of the first places that you can be tempted to look to is in your career. That's where we spend the most of our time, right? A job, you know, that you are dedicated to is likely to take up most of your time and attention. Now, jobs and careers are closely connected to other places where you can search for your identity, such as financial success because you're getting a paycheck, status because you're moving up the corporate ladder. But it doesn't stop there. We also ask our relationship statuses and appearances, grades and reputation to provide for us a sense of identity. Any or all of these may feel like solid foundations, but none of them are permanent. Any of them could change without warning, suddenly. If you base your identity on things like success, wealth, power, physical appearance, and so on, you are setting yourself up for great disappointment. Why? Because a sudden job loss could leave you questioning your choices in life. One piece of gossip aimed your way could destroy your reputation, even if it ain't true. Your appearance will change as you get older. God, church, however, doesn't change. He's unchanging. God is reliable. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you find your identity in God, you will never ultimately be let down because God has proven time and time again to be trustworthy. So I want you to catch this. If you find your identity in God and allow God's word to shape your who, then the do will flow out of the who. Because when you know who you are, watch this, then you will know what to do. Knowing who you are in God's eyes empowers you to understand what to do to live in accordance with God's will and purpose for your life. Now, the crucial question is this: how does God see me? How does God see us? One, God sees us as beloved children. Perhaps the most foundational truth is that God sees us as God's beloved children. This unconditional love forms the bedrock of our identity, establishing our worth and significance regardless of our past or shortcomings. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that it is what we are." The reason the world does not know us, the Bible says, is that it did not know him. Church, God's love is not contingent on our perfection. God loves us in spite of our flaws, mistakes, and shortcomings. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This emphasizes that God's love is unconditional and precedes any good works we might do. Now, what I'm about to say is going to mess some of you up. God loves us in spite of us, right? You got that. But God doesn't just love us in spite of our imperfections. He also loves us because of our imperfections. God loves us unconditionally despite our flaws, and he also cherishes the unique qualities that make us who we are. I think that's some good relationship stuff right there. Don't just love me in spite of, but love me because of. Because it's the because of that makes me who I am, right? And so God sees us as beloved children, but also God sees us as forgiven and redeemed. Through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are forgiven of our sins and redeemed from the penalty of those sins, which is separation from God. So as a believer, when God looks at us, God sees us as forgiven and redeemed. How so? Through a theological term referred to as imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness, simply put, it means that the righteousness of Christ is credited to our account by faith, even though we see ourselves as not inherently righteous. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, where it says, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Think of it like this. We are all broken before God. We've broken the law, God's standards. The penalty for breaking the law is separation from God. Jesus, who lived a perfectly righteous life, took our place and paid the penalty for our sin. Through faith in Jesus, his perfect righteousness is credited to us, even though we haven't earned it ourselves. Imputed righteousness allows us to stand before God as forgiven and redeemed, not because of our own merit, but because of Christ's sacrifice. Imagine you're facing a court trial for a serious offense. You know you're guilty of sin, and the penalty could be life without parole. Feeling hopeless, you await your fate. Suddenly, a wealthy benefactor, let's call him Jesus, steps forward and offers to take your place. He has a perfect record and has never committed a crime. The judge, impressed by his generosity and acknowledging your remorse, agrees to a remarkable proposition. Jesus's perfect record is credited to your account. You are not declared innocent because of anything you've done, but because of Jesus' sacrifice. You walk free, not because you haven't committed a crime, but because your debt has been paid by someone else. You get the picture now? But before you hang up and turn over, thinking this is a license to sin, now I ain't saying that. The goal now is to live a life that reflects your gratitude for what Jesus did for you on the cross. Here's the point. You do not have to define yourself in light of your past mistakes, because God don't even do it. You can walk in the identity of someone who is made new in Christ. What does it mean to be considered a child of God? It means that you have been adopted into God's family. You are considered a legitimate child of God, having all the rights and standing of Jesus Christ, his son. God sees you as a cherished child who bears God's name. Just as earthly adoption is a legally binding process that names you a permanent part of a family, heavenly adoption is just as permanent and binding. You are God's child, and God will never take that away. Somebody ought to shout amen on that. So when you know who you are, you will know what to do. Identity shapes actions. If distorted identity sabotages success, what are the effects of a positive identity? Real quick, and I got to go. A healthy identity creates positive habits, and positive habits reinforce a healthy identity. So today on Make It Happen Monday, Before you start with your do goals, first write out your who goals. And when you allow your who to be shaped, here it is, by God's view, then the do will flow from the who. I want to welcome you to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. If you're new to the call, I would like to welcome you. My name is Marcus D. Collins, and come March the 17th, for 7 years, I've been a part of an amazing group of people called Grace Community Church, and we are delighted to have shared this sacred space with you this morning. Let's pray. Galatians 5:13 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." God did not make you to be what somebody else wants you to be. God didn't make you to be what your parents wants you to be, what your girlfriend or boyfriend wants you to be, what your spouse wants you to be, what your boss or your friends want you to be. God made you to be you. If you're going to become all you can be, you have to refuse to be defined by others. You must be defined as a child of God. So, Father, I pray today that we stop trying to find our identity in anything other than being your child. A child of the King and a child of the a citizen of the kingdom of God. Thank you for this amazing grace in our life. Lord, help us see the minute we start placing our identity in something else, our children, our career, our relationships, our gifts, our talents. Help us in those moments to remember that all of those things, even though they are good gifts, will never satisfy us the way you will. Help us keep you before us in all things. Lord, we confess to you that we search for our identity in lesser things. So cleanse us from the inside out. We rattle off our accomplishments. We judge ourselves by data, likes, followers, retweets, contact lists. We introduce ourselves by our positions and titles. We remind people who we know. So, Father, we ask for your forgiveness. Release us from finding identity in all of those lesser things. And may we find our identity in you, being created in your image and experiencing the good news of the gospel. As we stand at the beginning of this new week, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for the gift of life, new beginnings, and the countless blessings you shower upon us. May this week, Father, be a week of growth, both personally and spiritually. May we experience moments of joy and peace and connection with those we hold dear. We pray for those who are struggling this morning, for those facing hardships, and for those in need of your healing touch. Surround them with your love, comfort them in their pain, and guide them towards a brighter tomorrow. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. This is Make It Happen Monday. So let's make some things shake today. Hey, listen, I am rooting for you. I am praying for you. So be watchful today, be careful, and be encouraged. Peace.